to see all you folks and to see Malachi. I was excited to see a new little Malachi here, which is great, and to hear little Abby's testimony and her praying. And it's fun being back. I'm going to steal your lectern here a little bit, Pastor. And you know, when Pastor called me 2-3 weeks ago and asked me to share this morning, I thought, yeah, that sounds fine. I had to check the schedule. Sandy, go check the schedule, my secretary. So she did. And sure enough, we didn't have anything going on that day. So I said yes. And then I said to Pastor, I said, now, is there a subject, certain subject you want me to speak on, that being Palm Sunday and all? He said, no, you say whatever you want to say. You share whatever you want to share. So I had to kind of decide between the Palm Sunday thing, you know, being Easter week, and another subject. And the other subject that I thought of sharing was, you know, this eclipse thing is going crazy. I mean, everybody is celebrating. The town next door, the town here, Terre Haute, we're all celebrating, you know, such a great thing. It doesn't happen very often. And I thought, well, I could share about the eclipse, because really, that's God's business, you know. You know, do you remember the song, I Believe in Miracles? Does anybody know that song? No? I believe in miracles. No, wait. My Father is omnipotent. Of that I can deny. A God of might and miracles is written in the sky. It took a miracle. Sandy, you want to help me? It took a miracle to... No, first it's to put the stars in place. It took a miracle to hang the world in space. But then he saved my soul, cleansed and made me whole. It took a miracle of love and grace. Isn't that a great song? And I thought, man, the churches ought to take this solar eclipse and really make it a big thing, because it's all about God's creation. He created everything. I mean, I'm amazed every day when I get up in the morning and the sun comes up. I mean, what a miracle for this huge earth, the huge, bigger sun with a moon going around and everything else in space. Psalm 19 says, the heavens declare the glory of God. Isn't that amazing? And so we ought to be, as believers, we ought to be celebrating God's glory in the midst of this big eclipse that's coming, and let people know that's because God is totally in charge of this world. The physical world that we live in, I mean, it is a miracle. But now I know it's Easter time, and we celebrate and share because of the miracle of his love and his grace, that he loved us so much that he sent Christ. You know, it's amazing. But anyway, I'm not doing any of that. How's that? So today I want you to take your Bibles and turn to 1 Thessalonians. Okay, the little epistle of 1 Thessalonians. And I stole Sandy's little light. I don't know if you know this, but this little thing I have here attached to my Bible, and it's a pretty neat little thing. I mean, there's a lot of electronic stuff that I like. There's a lot of stuff that I don't like. But he's got this little light here, and she uses it when she reads laying down at night or whatever and turns the light on. So anyway, 1 Thessalonians. And Dennis asked what the title is, and the title was The Resurrection Rapture. And so you can put that, the resurrection / rapture, because I want to talk a little bit about the end times, and I want to talk about the rapture. And I notice in your bulletin you have, are you rapture ready, which is great. and which is true, because that's what we're looking for. We're looking for the return of Christ. And that's going to happen when the rapture happens. And we're going to talk about that here a little bit this morning. So if you got your Bibles or you're in 1 Thessalonians, we want to work our way through it a little bit and take a look and see what we can find out about the rapture and the resurrection, which is totally based on Christ, what he did on the cross and the burial and the resurrection coming out of the grave. And the result of all that is that we are blessed immensely. So before I dig into this, before we all dig into this, let's pray, shall we? Lord God, thank you so much for your word today, and thank you for the opportunity to again share it with these dear folks, these brothers and sisters in Christ. And Lord, I pray that you would take your word and put it in our heart, Lord, that we would be encouraged by the truth that we see, because we know of what you've accomplished for us and what you have ahead for us, that we can totally, totally be trusting in you by faith. Guide us now as we teach and as we share together, and we pray in Christ's name. Amen. If you want to know what kind of points I have this morning, I'm working on an alliteration of 3 points. So when I get to the end, you'll know it's time to go home. You'll know we're about done. So it's 3 F's. It's fear, 2nd is faith, and the last part is facts. Fear, and then faith, and then facts. So I want to look at the fear part of it first. And the Thessalonian people were fearing. And I'll tell you, we'll share here in a little bit why they were scared, why they were grieving, why they were fearing. So if you're in 1 Thessalonians, we're going to go and we're going to read real quickly through the first chapter. Now, here's the setting on the Thessalonians. Okay, Paul, in the book of Acts, we know he took three missionary journeys, and then his last journey was to Rome, where his life was taken. But there's 3 missionary journeys in the book of Acts. Acts 13 through 20 are the 3 journeys that Paul took. And on his first missionary journey, he went up to Galatia, that's in Asia Minor, where Turkey is today, and he planted churches. He shared the grace of God. He shared the gospel of Christ. And he shared about Jesus dying for these people, and churches were planted all over Galatia. And he returned. Second missionary journey, he took with him, again, Silas, and he met Timothy on the way in Galatia. And on the second missionary journey, he revisited the old churches there in Galatia. And then he heard a voice that said, go over to Macedonia, which is Greece, part of Europe. So he went over and he shared Christ for 3 weeks in the church at Thessalonica, and built the church in Thessalonica. And then they ran him out of town, the Jews, that got jealous of Paul drawing all these people to Christ. And he went to Berea, and then he ended up going down to Athens, and he ended up at Corinth. Second missionary journey, he at Corinth, he wrote this letter of 1 Thessalonians back to the Thessalonians. And we're going to find out real quickly here why he wrote this letter. All right? Now, we're in the first verse, first chapter, and he says, Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy to the church of the Thessalonians, in God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, grace to you and peace. All right. So remember, he was there in Thessalonica, shared Christ, church was planted. Then he left and went down to Corinth. And while he's at Corinth, I think he spent about 3 years there sharing Christ. And while he's there, he heard about the Thessalonians and he wrote this letter back to them. He says to them, we always thank God for all of you, remembering you constantly in our prayers. We recall in the presence of our God and Father your work of faith, labor of love, and endurance of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ, knowing your election, brothers loved by God. For our gospel did not come to you in word only, but also in power, in the Holy Spirit, and with much assurance. You know what kind of men we were among you for your benefit, and you became imitators of us and of the Lord when, in spite of severe persecution, you welcomed the message with the joy from the Holy Spirit. You see, Paul had problems when he was at Thessalonica. He was persecuted. And he says here, he says, you welcomed the message in spite of severe persecution. Verse 7, as a result, you became an example to all the believers in Macedonia and Achaia. For the Lord's message rang out from you, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but in every place that your faith in God has gone out. So we don't need to say anything, for they themselves report about us what kind of reception we had from you, how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, Jesus, who rescues us from the coming wrath. The Thessalonians, becoming believers, were now waiting for Christ to return. This was 2,000 years ago, before our time. They were waiting that Christ is coming again. We know that. Christ said that. I leave, I come back. I'm coming back. So they were looking for Christ to come back anytime, every day. They were looking for him to come back, and it says, Jesus, who rescues us from the coming wrath. What is the coming wrath, you think, referred to here? It's the coming tribulation period. It's the coming 7 years of trouble. You can read and study that in the book of Revelation. That's towards the end times. But first here, we want to talk about them waiting for and looking for the return of Christ. He's coming imminently for them, anytime. And I believe the Apostle Paul was looking for Christ. He expected Christ to come back to get them and take them and resurrect them, even, we're going to find out, even those who had died. Okay? That's chapter 1. That's setting the stage. Now turn over to the fourth chapter. Turn a page in your Bible. You get to the fourth chapter. You get down to verse 13. We're going to go 13 through the end of the chapter. And this is where we get our 3 points this morning. All right. Paul says this, writing this letter to these believers at Thessalonica, he said, we do not want you to be uninformed, brothers, concerning those who are asleep. Now, what does he mean by asleep here? He doesn't mean like when we go to sleep at nighttime when it's dark and we wake up the next morning. He's talking about those who have died. This term is used for believers that have died in the Lord. Throughout the scripture, it's always used of believers. So he says, we don't want you to be uninformed, brothers, concerning those who are asleep, concerning those who have died already in Christ, so that you will not grieve like the rest. Here's the fear. Here's our first point. The believers in Thessalonica had lost loved ones. They had died already. Loved ones that had also received Christ. And it's sad, these believers said, because they're going to miss when Christ comes back. They're not going to be here. They died. They're in the grave. So when Christ comes back, oh, our relatives, my mom and dad, they're in the grave, so they're going to miss out on Christ coming back. They are grieving. They are fearing. Okay, so he says, who have no hope, since we believe that Jesus died and rose again, in the same way God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep through Jesus. All right, now he says, since, verse 14, since we believe, okay, he says, what do we believe, Paul says. Okay, Thessalonians, you need to believe this. We believe that Jesus died and rose again. In the same way, God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep through Jesus. For we say this to you by a revelation from the Lord. It's not fear, he says. It's believing. That's faith. What is faith? Is faith feeling good? Is faith getting excited? No. Faith is built on facts. And he's going to give us the facts. He says, we believe that Jesus died and rose again. There's a fact. That's what we celebrate next Sunday, especially. Christ's death and his resurrection. We, he says, believe that Christ died and rose again. We believe that Jesus died, rose again. In the same way, God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep through Jesus. For we say this to you by a revelation from the Lord. Revelation is God speaking to Paul. Paul wrote it down. Paul wrote it down to the Thessalonians in this letter so that they would not grieve anymore. So you have the fear of them, but the faith takes over. The faith is based on facts. And we have, for we say this to you by revelation from the Lord, we who are still alive at the Lord's coming will certainly have no advantage over those who have fallen asleep. The believers will arise first, for the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the archangel's voice, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are still alive will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so we will always be with the Lord. Those are facts. Paul says, I know, God has shown it to me, that there's coming a day when Christ comes back. Don't be sad for your relatives who have died in Christ because they're in the grave. They're not going to miss out. Those that are in the grave that have died, like my parents and so on, Sandy's parents, it's okay because if Christ comes back and Sandy and I are still alive, they're going to be caught up to meet the Lord in the air first. Then Sandy and I will go up to meet the Lord. All of us in Christ will go up to meet the Lord. He says, don't fear, don't grieve, because the facts are this. So you see, when we fear, when we are afraid of whatever takes place in our life, don't fear. God is in charge. You are in Christ if you have received Christ as your personal Savior. Because God is going to take care of you no matter what. He is in charge. And especially if Christ comes back and you're still alive, which we can be because he could come back anytime. Wouldn't that be amazing? Anytime, my parents would come up first out of the grave. I can't even imagine what that's like. 2,000 years of people that have been put in the grave. And they're going to come out and meet God, or meet Christ in the air. It says, caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will always be with the Lord. Now, we know that when we die, that our bodies are separated from our souls, our spirits. Because Paul teaches in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, to be absent from the body when we die is to be alive with God in heaven. So we know we are presented to God in heaven. And 2 Corinthians chapter 5 even talks of some other kind of body that we have before we get our resurrected body. I don't know what that will be like in heaven. I've got a lot of questions about Scripture, but I'm going to find out when Christ returns, whenever it's my opportunity and go to be with the Lord. However, so you got fear, and you got faith because it's based all on facts. No longer fear. It's now faith. We walk by faith, not by sight. We walk by faith, which is based on the Scriptures. That's how important your Word of God is. That's how important the text is. To know what the text says, believing what God said in His Word. To meet the Lord in the air, and so we will always be with the Lord. Here's what he says for us now. Here's what we do while we're still alive. Therefore, encourage one another with these words. Folks, I'm encouraging you today with this truth. with the truth in God's Word. You now know it. There's no longer fear. You don't have to fear anymore. Don't even fear death anymore if you're in Christ Jesus. Therefore, encourage one another with these words. We are to encourage each other. Christ is coming back. Now, I want you to know, we read in the first chapter, that it's because of the coming wrath. The rapture happens, then the 7 years of tribulation take place, but we miss the tribulation period. We will not be here during this seven years of tribulation at the end. We will be in heaven with our Lord. That's the rapture. And the rapture happens first. Now notice that we meet Christ in the air here. Christ is coming back to the earth, but it's after the 7 years of tribulation. The rapture happens. We are called up. We meet Christ in the air. We're called by a trumpet. We're called by the archangel's voice, and I don't know who that is. I know Michael was an angel, an archangel. Daniel chapter 11. We are called up from the earth. We miss the tribulation period, 7 years. And then, at the end of that, Christ comes back again to the earth along with us, His saints, because we read in the Scriptures that He comes back with the saints then. So we come back with Christ after the tribulation period, and we reign and rule with Christ when He comes back for 1,000 years. That's millennium. Christ comes back after the tribulation period as a judge. He comes before the tribulation period in the rapture, and He comes as the Savior to call His loved ones out of the world. When I was in Dallas Seminary a few years ago, wow, it's been more than a few anymore, how quickly time flies. But 4 years, Sandy and I and our two boys spent in the Dallas, Texas area going to school. And in Dallas, down in Texas, the state fair is, I believe it's in the fall or in the winter. But Dallas Seminary always has, they set up a, what do you call it, a kiosk or a little thing in the state fair with a lot of the other sellers around, vendors and stuff. And I was privileged to be able to go and share as part of that and go to the fair a few days during that time period. And one of the things that we had in our booth was we had a picture that we hung up. And it was a picture of the rapture. It was a picture of bodies coming out of the grave and meeting Christ in the air with the other believers that were alive. And this great picture we had and hung up. A lot of people were walking through and they would stop and see that and they would wonder, what is that? That's a strange looking picture. We had the opportunity to share Christ with many people. I had the privilege of sharing Christ with many people there at the fair. When they were showed interest, we would explain to them the truth, and then we would even have them get out of the crowds, and we would take them back and show them and give them the scriptures and show them the truth. I had the opportunity to share with a guy walked up to me and was curious and asking me, and all these little kids were coming up to this guy and asking for his autograph. And I thought, who is this? Who is this guy? And the guy, you know, the Dallas Cowboys, the football, you brought up the basketball stuff. The Dallas Cowboys were one of the main teams back then. The coach of the Dallas Cowboys then was, what was his name, Sandy? Tom Landry. There you go. Thanks, Dennis. Tom Landry, a super coach. But more than that, he was a believer in Christ, the coach was. And one of my professors, Howie Hendricks, was a chaplain with the Dallas Cowboys then back then. But I had the opportunity to share with this guy, and all these people were coming up. These kids were coming up and asking this guy for his autograph, and I thought, who are you? And he said, he is the mascot. If you remember back a few years ago, they would have a cowboy in the end zone that would be the mascot, for the Dallas Cowboy mascot, and had the opportunity to share Christ with him. He was a Jehovah's Witness, by the way. And he never really came to the point where he said, I believe in Jesus Christ. But he sure understood the truth. So he knew at that point that Christ died for him. And by faith, he can receive Christ as his personal Savior. All right, real quickly, let's turn over one other place. Turn back over to 1 Corinthians. Remember Paul's writing from Corinth? Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Paul tells the Corinthians some of the same stuff that he told the Thessalonians. Chapter 15 of 1 Corinthians is a super chapter. I encourage you to read that this week. It's about the resurrection of Jesus Christ and about what kind of body that we might have after it's over and all that kind of stuff. Anyway, chapter 15, look down at verse 50, and we'll go down through a few verses here. Brothers, I tell you this, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, and corruption cannot inherit incorruption. Listen, I am telling you a mystery. Like mysteries, do you? Paul's going to tell us a mystery. He's going to tell the Corinthians a mystery. A mystery is something that hasn't been told before. It's not been shared with anybody. It's something that comes through the Old Testament, but it's not clear, and it doesn't give us the information that we have right here. And it's about the rapture. It's about the same thing that he wrote to the church at Thessalonica. So he says, I tell you this, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, and corruption cannot inherit incorruption. Listen, I'm telling you a mystery. We will not all sleep. We will not all fall asleep, and that's dying. We will not all die. But we will all be changed. Even those that die will be changed. And we alive, we will be changed out of the grave. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound and the dead will be raised. Does that sound familiar? Yeah, that's exactly what he told the Thessalonians. The trumpet blast will sound. The dead will be raised incorruptible, the dead first. We will be changed because this corruptible must be clothed with incorruptibility and this mortal must be clothed with immortality. Now, when this corruptible is clothed with incorruptibility and this mortal is clothed with immortality, then the saying that is written will take place. This is from Hosea chapter 13, verse 14. We won't turn there, but we'll read it. Death has been swallowed up in victory. O death, where's your victory? O death, where's your sting? Now the sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. If you're here today and you're a believer, aren't you glad you're on the victory side? I am glad that God has chosen me, as it says in the Scriptures, before the foundation of the world, that at a certain point in time, when I was 13 years old, that I would come to the point where I realized that Christ died for me personally because he loves me so much. Christ died to take away all my sin. They're all gone because of God's holiness, because of God's love, and that I'm now a believer in Jesus Christ. And the victory is mine. Therefore, he says, last verse, here's what we are supposed to do. So if you want some walking papers today, here they are. Therefore, my dear brothers, be steadfast, immovable. That's the facts, folks. That's what we've learned from 1 Thessalonians. The facts. We have the facts, the Scriptures. So be steadfast in them. Be immovable in them. Always excelling in the Lord's work, knowing that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. If you're in Christ, you are victorious today, alive. You are to wait and look for the coming of Christ. Because Christ is coming back to take us and remove us from the wrath that's coming. And I know there's a lot of negative stuff going on now, but that's still not what's going to take place during the tribulation period. Don't have time for that one today. If you're in Christ today, feel victorious. I don't care. Kentucky lost, didn't they? And you're glad. I know, if you're an IU fan. But we're all in Christ. If we are in Christ, we are so victorious. Forget that basketball. Forget the IU basketball team. Being in Christ is so much greater. I love basketball, by the way. I watch it too. Yes, we're victorious in Christ. We are to look for His return every day when we get up. Could be today. And it still could be today when Christ comes back and we get called up, being still alive, knowing that my parents are going to get there maybe before me. I don't know how fast we go through the year. I don't know those facts. Can we look at one more thing real quickly before I close? And that's turn over to John chapter 14. This is another rapture chapter. All right, let's see. John chapter 14. Okay, in John chapter 13, you know, Jesus is getting ready for the Passion Week, and He's sharing a communion, His Last Supper, and God is glorified in Him. Okay, He's going out to be crucified. Horrible stuff, but great for us, let me tell you, to have our sins forgiven. He says, I give you a new commandment, love one another. And then down to verse 36, good old Peter speaks up, Lord, where are you going? Jesus answered, where I'm going, you cannot follow me now, but you will follow later. Lord, Peter asked, why can't I follow you now? I will lay down my life for you. Jesus said, will you lay down your life for me? I assure you, a rooster will not crow until you have denied me three times. Now look at chapter 14. Here's the facts, folks. Your heart must not be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. If not, I would have told you. I am going away to prepare a place for you. If I go away and prepare a place for you, I will come back and receive you to myself, so that where I am, there you may be also. Where I am, there you may be also. We are so victorious. We, being in Christ, have such a future. In spite of what the world's future might look like, a lot of difficulties out there. I encourage you folks today, if you're in Jesus Christ today, you have a future beyond understanding. Not only do you look forward to the week ahead of you here as believers, and get to celebrate the resurrection of Christ again, the death on the cross. But the future is unbelievable for us believers. If you're not a believer this morning, Christ died for you. God loves you and sent Christ His Son to die so that you can receive Him by faith and become a follower of Jesus Christ, and look forward to the rapture. Look forward to the going to be with Christ. Whatever is ahead, and how glorious it will be to worship Him face to face. Can you imagine? We worship this morning singing some songs, but to worship in the presence of Christ who died for us blows my mind. But I'm tell you what, I'm in Christ. I'm a victor. I win. I'm a victorious Christian. I know the facts. I believe the facts. Now let's share the facts. I love seeing or hearing what Abby said about the praying and Malachi and the accident and just little things like that. People coming to Christ, people coming to the Lord. What a great thing. What a great gospel we have to share, to live the truth of God. Let's pray together. Lord God, you are so good. I thank you, Lord, for your word that you have encouraged us so much through the teaching of your servants, through the revelation that was given to the Apostle Paul, your servant. Thank you for these dear folk here this morning, Lord, and I pray that they would grasp the facts, even this coming week, that it would be a week of rejoicing, knowing that they're in Christ, looking for your Son, his return, calling his church, his body, back to be with him forever. Lord, if there's one or two maybe that have never placed their trust in you, put their faith in you, may it be today. Lord, we thank you for the opportunity again to share your word, to share your truth. May we glory in your Christ, your Son, this coming week and forever as we wait for his return. Multiply your word, multiply your saints, your church, through us. All over this world, may people come to you. We thank you for our time again. We pray all these things in your Son Christ's name. Amen.